MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting with Alec Cutler from Orbis Investments. Alec, appreciate the time today. US tech, Magnificent Seven, but truthfully broader than that. US tech has captured everyone's imagination. Valuations are somewhere between stretched and probably very stretched. Where's Orbis finding opportunity outside of US tech when you look at global markets?
We find great opportunity all around the world, really. Japan, Korea, UK valuations are quite low. But I think most interestingly, we find great opportunity right around that hotbed of US tech, in that everyone is fascinated with AI, and they mention it, NVIDIA and Microsoft, all the time. But what they don't talk much about is who's providing the weapons to them. They're all fighting it out to see who can be the number one or number two in AI. But in those kinds of instances, when there are Magnificent Seven names trying to all be number one or be number two, I want to provide the weapons and ammunition. And that lies underneath them in the form of semiconductors. So NVIDIA, who everyone loves, doesn't make anything. Mm-hmm. NVIDIA designs chips that Taiwan Semiconductor makes. And Taiwan Semiconductor is the only company in the world that can make them. And yet Taiwan Semiconductor, A, has sells at one-third the multiple, the valuation of an NVIDIA. And B, should competitors arise, which they inevitably will, there's no barrier to entry that says that Taiwan Semiconductor can't make them for them as well. They're completely indifferent as to who they make these fancy chips for. The second set of semiconductors that provides this ring around the AI opportunity are the memory companies. And if you think about AI, AI is really about super fast processing of information, and then getting that information in and out very, very quickly, lots and lots of information. That is where DRAM memory is incredibly important. So if you look at a NVIDIA chipset, you'll see connected to that chip are massive amounts of high bandwidth memory. The companies that make those are selling for very low valuations, and they happen to be an oligopoly in Micron, Samsung, and Hynix, so two Korean companies and an American company. That's kind of the first place we're finding opportunity. And those names are selling at 10 times earnings, so very cheap multiple. You don't need to look very far away from AI to find some terrific, very reasonably valued opportunities.
I take your point. The old cliche, in the gold rush, you wanted to be the person selling the shovels. You probably only made 50 cents a shovel, but you sold enough of them to work that through. One of the other big stories out there, which is off tack from AI and the like, but is the trend towards deglobalization and that sort of trend. And there must be, I mean, the one obvious one again is copper, right? Because we're going to need power and all of that. But again, that seems almost too obvious. That's like the Magnificent Seven. Opportunities sort of around that space where we sort of learned our lessons during the pandemic.
I think even though they're obvious, so certainly copper, but if you think about onshoring, you're building factories, you're building rail lines and roads to those factories, you're upgrading the port facilities, or you're upgrading the electricity, transmission and generation. It's just a massive amount of infrastructure. And I think the markets are ignoring those names still because they're considered to be dirty old industrials that don't mesh well with zero carbon world in a very simplistic way. But the irony being that without them, you don't get to that nirvana of a zero carbon world. You need a Prysmian to make high voltage cable lines. You need Siemens Energy to make transformers and switches. You need MasTec to dig up the ground and bury the power lines and the natural gas pipes. There are many, many companies that are very well run, that sell for very low valuations, that have a direct connection to this reshoring theme.
I take the point. Yeah, and again, we're sort of back to the shovels there. One of the things, inflation is sort of muddling along, and we're not going back to, I suspect, the very low inflation of pre-pandemic. We kind of reset a new inflation level. This almost brings into a broader theme around portfolio construction and multi-asset portfolios. And of course, those other assets are, it's equity, but it's cash and bonds, which sort of fit very well into the future as we look out, which includes wars in Europe and the Middle East amongst our challenges.
Yeah, fixed income is very challenging right now because, one, we've become used to over the last 40 years of having a low and ever lower interest rate environment, which allows fixed income securities and to diversify versus equity securities. But when inflation's a bit higher, above 4%, bonds and equities are correlated, so they don't help each other out from a diversification standpoint. Mm. The second thing is, when we look at developed market treasuries, government sovereigns, they're kind of yielding around 4 to 4.5%. And the inflation expectation that the market holds right now is 2 to 2.2%. We look at that and we think it's, well, quite frankly, BS. We think the inflation on average over the next 20 years is going to be, you know, nowhere near that. We think it's going to be on average between 4, 4.5, maybe even 5%. Mm. In which case, if you believe that, then, you know, you're not going to touch these treasuries. So we're nowhere near them. And instead, you know, we find solace in gold, in hedging out our equity exposure, other ways to generate a diversifying outcome away from equities.
I take your point. And certainly that a higher inflation over the decades ahead, it changes lots fundamentally. And to your point, makes those seemingly attractive yields not quite so attractive. We'll leave it there. That's Alec Cutler. He's from Orbis Investments. Alec, appreciate the time. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.